Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, that's where I'd like to begin. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 43. Probably a very familiar story to many of you. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 43. This is Jesus as he's coming on the way to the house of Jairus for his daughter, and on the way there's a crowd around him, and then the story picks up from there. It says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him," that is Jesus, "and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched." So the story is familiar to us. She comes in the midst of the crowd, earnestly seeking Jesus. And when she finds him, she doesn't stop him and ask him to heal her. She merely has the faith to touch his garment, and she is healed. But the story continues. "And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?'" And this is a pretty strange question, because there are people crowding all around him, people jostling back and forth. And so Peter, ever ready to speak, says, "When all denied that they had touched him, Peter said that Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' 'They have all touched you, Lord, nearest you,'" is what he's saying. "And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceived that virtue is gone out of me.'" So my question here this morning is, why did Jesus even bother? Why didn't he just let her be healed and go on her way? Of course he knew that she had been healed, but I think he had a purpose in singling her out and calling her forward. And if you look in verse 47, I think it tells us why. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately." She shared the testimony of what the Lord had done for her. And that is what the Lord had designed her to be doing, was to share what God had done for her blessing and for the blessing of all those around her. And so this is sort of the focus of the message this morning, about sharing what the Lord has done with us. And I have a quote here in Desire of Ages chapter 347 on this very story. She says, "After healing the woman, Jesus desired her to acknowledge the blessing she had received. The gifts with which the gospel offers are not to be secured by stealth or enjoyed in secret. So the Lord calls upon us for the confession of his goodness. 'You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God.' Our confession of his faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. We are to acknowledge his grace as made known through the holy men of old. But that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. We are witnesses for God as we reveal in ourselves the working of a power that is divine. Every individual has a life distinct from all others and an experience differing essentially from theirs." We each have a unique testimony, a unique blessing which the Lord has given us. "God desires that our praise shall ascend to him, marked by our own individuality. These precious acknowledgments to the praise of the glory of his grace, when supported by a Christ-like life, have an irresistible power that works for the salvation of souls." And that's the title of the message this morning, Irresistible Witness. And that's one of the strongest things, according to this quote, that we can do in the work of saving souls, is telling people what the Lord has done, not for him or for her, but for me. And if you turn with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, another verse to this effect here, Peter talks about. Probably again another familiar verse, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people that do what is the question? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, telling the things that God has saved us from and brought us into. Another quote that I found that's been a blessing to me. Gospel Herald, August 1, 1906, paragraphs 11 and 14. David beheld the wondrous glory of Jesus Christ, and while I was musing, the fire burned, then spake I with my tongue. How could he keep silent? He must give utterance. He must tell of the grand scenes opened before him, the power, the majesty, the glory of Christ. Who can behold the glory of our Redeemer and not speak of it? Who with the eye of faith can see his beauty and not extol it? Who can taste of his love and not adore him? The Lord God of hosts is his name. Even the chosen of God cannot give expression to the glory of his goodness and love. Language fails to reveal it. Lost in wonder, one of old exclaimed, he is the chiefest among 10,000. Yea, he is altogether lovely. He is my beloved, and I am his. In the 145th Psalm, David offers him beautiful tribute of praise. Unable to find words to express what was in his heart, John calls upon all to behold him. We also are to open our lips in praises. From the heart subdued with his love, let expressions of adoration rise. Tell of his goodness, tell of his loveness. Extol his grace, magnify his lovely character. To the true believer, he is more precious than gold, even the finest gold of Ophir, yea, more precious to me than life itself. So basically, if the Lord means something to us, we will want to tell others. And it's given here sort of something that tells us, well, we can't really tell all of the good things that he has done. I believe it's Psalm 106 that says, who can show forth all his glory? So it would be impossible for us to tell everything that God has done in its full extent. That shouldn't stop us. And Early Writings, page 114, under the subheading, meetings are interesting when everyone has something to say for the Lord. The Lord has shown me that great interest should be taken by Sabbath keepers to keep up their meetings and make them interesting. There is great necessity of more interest and energy being manifested in this direction. Amen? All should have something to say for the Lord, for by so doing they will be blessed. A book of remembrance is written of those who do not forsake the assembling of themselves together, but speak often one to another. That's in heaven, friends. The remnant are to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Some expect to overcome alone by the blood of the Lamb without making any special effort of their own. I saw that God has been merciful in giving us the power of speech. He has given us a tongue, and we are accountable to him for its use. We should glorify God with our mouth, speaking in honor of the truth and of his unbounded mercy, and overcome by the word of our testimony through the blood of the Lamb. And finally, Psalm 116, if you'd like to turn there with me. Psalms chapter 116, beginning in verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Do we have benefits from the Lord? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. But not this only. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. What is he saying here? You have given me freedom, so I will tell it forth. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He repeats it. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to have an opportunity for people to share the blessings that the Lord has given them recently. Kind of at the end of the year, I think it's appropriate to be sharing what has happened throughout our year. You know, what has the Lord done for us? And I want to take that opportunity to pass the mic around and see what the Lord has done for you. And I don't care how big or how small it is, the Lord has given us this opportunity to share with one another. But while you think about something the Lord has done for you, I just want to something I just picked randomly out of my ear right about in the middle of it that the Lord blessed me with. I'm not sure if all of you know this, but when I came here in the beginning of June, I actually drove from Portland, Oregon. But before I went, I didn't cut straight across. I went down to Arizona first to see my father. And in my 1986 Chevrolet Celebrity station wagon, I took off from Oregon, Portland. It's the northern half of Oregon. And as I was coming down, I barely got over the border of Oregon before my car broke down. And so there I am in the mountains of California, as it were, and my car is not going anywhere. And so I'm calling people back home. I'm calling my dad, asking him, you know, what am I going to do? Going through diagnostics, seeing if it's anything simple, and nothing. And finally, I called my friend back home, a fellow college student back at the Mission College of Evangelism, and it turns out that he's from Redding, California. Now, that's kind of a ways away. It's about 100 miles or so, but it's still closer than my parents were. And so he calls his parents, and his parents rent a U-Haul dolly, drive about 80 or 100 miles one way, and come and get me. I spend the night at their house, and they drop me off at their mechanic in the morning. That was a blessing from the Lord. And that was just one thing the Lord has done for me throughout this year that I really found special, you know. He used somebody else to bless me that way. So I think that's a lesson for us, too, that we can be the instrument of the Lord in blessing others. And another short quote, Gospel Workers, page 171. Testimony should be short and of a nature to help others. The prayer and social meeting should be a season of special help and encouragement. All should feel it a privilege to take part. Let everyone who bears the name of Christ have something to say in the social meeting. The testimony should be short and of a nature to help others. So what I want to do at this time is just see what the Lord has done for you this year. Have an opportunity for you guys to share, if you would be so kind as to do so.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.